Okay, we swept out all the dirt. We lowered the lights. We lit a candle and brought in the couch. And Patrick Doyle's in the house. Hi, bud.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm disappointed. I was waiting for you to ask that.
Well,
I'm disappointed in life and people. How's that? That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, well, those are the two things you can get disappointed about pretty easy.
All right, we're going to be talking about disappointment today. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to call in. If you want to remain anonymous, we'll certainly respect that request as well. And if you want to text us your question, just key in the word dove, your space, and then your name, and then your question, and then send it to 77948.
If they wanted to be anonymous, could they just do space and then their question?
No. Oh, you mean on the...
on the text?
Yeah, sure, okay. Of course. Yeah, we can do that.
If you didn't want to reveal you were.
No, so anyway, we're talking about disappointment today, and wow, this is a big topic. What is it? What causes it? How do we deal with it? And what's God have to do with it?
Yeah.
What is disappointment?
I don't know.
Oh, well, then we ought to call somebody else.
Isn't that kind of disappointing? So disappointment, there's some nuances with disappointment, but most generally, disappointment is I don't like the way things are going. My expectation was this was going to happen, but reality gave me this.
Mm. Wow, that pretty much sums up life.
Now, you can be sometimes surprised by event. Like I go to the refrigerator and I'm waiting to get my glass of milk and I get there and it's gone. Someone drank it. That can be a surprise. Oh, somebody got the milk. Or it could be, who got the milk? Okay. But either way, my response is to something that is happening other than I expected it to.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us to talk about something else.
What's that?
Expectations.
Okay.
A lot of people suffer in life because they're disappointed because their expectations are not met. So then the question comes, well, should I change my expectations? Should I just expect nothing? Wouldn't that be better if I just never expect anything, that I just never get disappointed and I'll be fine?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But I dare you to live without expectations.
Without one.
Yeah. I don't know that you can.
Well, you do something. You expect something.
Yeah. The expectations are normal. Here's the key. Who ultimately is in charge of the outcome?
Well, I know the answer to that. It's not the answer people want to hear.
Right.
God is in charge of outcomes.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right. And so when I'm disappointed, my wrestling match is really with him.
Oh, that goes over real well.
Yeah.
Guess who loses?
Yeah, me every time.
Yeah.
So this is the thing I wanted to bring it to. So disappointment is a normal part of life. All of us experience it. It's not bad that you're disappointed. What can become harmful is what you do with your disappointment. You ever met people who, like the Eeyore?
Oh, wise. Everybody was picking on me.
Yeah. Where's that come from? Consistent disappointment. Consistent disappointment. Things don't go my way. So then I start to get an expectation that it just won't go my way.
Ooh. Where's self-esteem come into this?
Well, chronic disappointment will destroy your self-esteem because obviously you're not worth anything because nothing ever goes your way.
Yeah, but are you expecting something that's not real or not realistic? Well,
that brings me to the other point. How realistic are our expectations? And where can we find a guide for realistic expectations?
Okay. Tell me.
We get back to doing things God's way. God lays out for us some things in life that we can expect, right? What did Jesus say this life would hold for us?
Disappointments.
Suffering. Disappointment. Joy. Peace. Hope. Trouble. So here's what happens with expectations. We generally expect what we like. If it's something I don't like, I don't want to expect it. But tell me in life, how many times has something that you didn't want to have happen? It happens all the time. So here's the deal.
That's called Murphy's Law.
Right. So Yeah. So what do I do with the things that don't go my way? Do I hold on to them and I become angry and disgruntled over the fact that I didn't get my way and let my blood pressure rise and become irritable? Or do I go to God and say, God, I'm disappointed. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to react. I need help. See, one is a self-centered, self-reliant, controlling response, which is in our flesh. It's in our nature. All of us have it. And one is a submitted, humbled, God, you're the king of the universe. You're my good dad. I'm going to trust you. And the two, one will lead you into peace that passes understanding. Even though you can't understand the circumstance, you can still have peace. Even though it's not what you want, you can still have a level of peace. Doesn't mean that you still might not want that thing. Like, for example, you want your children to love God mm-hmm. and to be obedient to Him. Every parent who loves God wants that. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen that go sideways? You ever seen kids go the other way?
Yep.
Okay, so who are we going to trust for changing that outcome? Who am I going to put my hope in?
Well, it has to be God.
Yeah, but you know what? Practically, that's a very difficult thing when the kid's sitting across the room on the couch, stoned.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. So, or when my loved one dies, or when I lose a job, or when my business fails, or when my child is in the hospital, or when my spouse leaves me, or when I find out someone abused my child, or, you know, the litany of things that happen that are exceedingly disappointing.
All right, I just wanted to say to our listeners, if you have any questions for Tim about the subject.
Patrick, Tim's
I'm
gone.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's all right.
For Patrick, disappointment, 776-5368. Why do we attach the frustration of our disappointment usually to a person? In other words, we're disappointed, so it must be somebody else's fault.
Well, one, because everybody, no one wants to be responsible for the problem. I mean, that's human nature. You know, it's what Adam tried it in the garden. Hey, it's that woman you gave me. God's like, actually, no. You knew better. You know, you're wrong. Oh, right. But, you know, blame shifting's I mean, I never taught my kids how to do that. I never taught them how to lie. But when they were young, man, they figured out who got in the cookies. You know, and the kid's got cookie all over his face, and he's like, my brother.
My brother did it. So
here's the other thing.
Yeah, sometimes in that blame game of disappointment,
yes,
we blame God.
Well, and that's what I wanted to get to.
God, you just didn't answer my prayer, so why should I bother talking to you?
You didn't do it my way.
Yeah.
Well, who of us knows enough to counsel God?
Well, there are some out there who think they're qualified.
Yeah, and they're sadly mistaken and in for a real difficult wake-up call. But listen, do you trust God to be good? A lot of us will believe that He's in charge, that He's sovereign, that He's God. But we have questions about His goodness when things don't go the way we think they should. But the Scripture says that we see through a glass dimly on a good day. Mm-hmm. That's my added emphasis. I am a finite human with a sinful nature. How in the world do I know what's best when you're comparing me to the perfection and the glory and the beauty and the almightiness of God? So really, it's an issue of it gets down to an issue of pride. Whose way am I going to trust? Am I going to trust His way, even though it's difficult and I don't know all the outcomes and I don't know all the ifs, ands, and buts, and I have to trust because He's not telling me all the information. He's not lighting up the path for a mile, and He gives me enough light for a step, and sometimes that's dim. He doesn't light up the whole path, right? And I believe that He doesn't, because it's just like you don't explain electricity to a 2-year-old, right? If you explain mm-hmm. electricity to a 2-year-old, is it going to modify their behavior? No.
I think that I don't think there isn't a day doesn't go by that we're disappointed about something. So some
exactly.
kind of an expectation doesn't go the way we want. We're disappointed. Maybe it's a person.
Mm-hmm. situation.
We've had a lot of, right. I mean, everybody does. I'm not trying to isolate anything or anybody. We've all been disappointed. I think one of the most painful disappointments is when somebody's let you down.
Yeah. Somebody you trust.
Somebody you trust.
Yeah.
Let you down. So, when you know you're disappointed, the yes. moment that you become disappointed, what should the believer do?
Okay. First thing you do is you say, God, help me. I don't like this. I don't know what to do. I need perspective. I need to know how you see it. Because I got all my opinions. I got all my desires. I got all my needs. But ultimately, you're the only one who knows. And this goes back to us having a dependence on God rather than an independence of Him. And I think that the more you spend time depending on Him, the more your disappointment will dissipate. Because God is not disappointing. When you see God and who He is, does it disappoint? And He never changes. He's always good. He's always wise. He's always loving. He's always present. He doesn't take a day off. He doesn't change who He is. He doesn't become capricious because you did something that irritated Him. He's consistent. So in that, there is no disappointment. God doesn't do wrong things. He doesn't change. So that's a constant source of hope. But when I get my view in there, I want it my way. And you know what? If you don't give it to me my way, I'm going to be angry about it. I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be sad. I'm going to be depressed. That's fine. It's a free country. Go ahead. It won't change the fact that God is in charge of things. And the sooner I get to trusting in that and relying on that, the less disappointed I'll be.
Well, we all get disappointed with others and with God. What about when you get disappointed with yourself? Because to me, it almost seems even more dangerous because here you have no one to blame you, and you just keep beating up yourself.
Yes. Great point, Paulina, because that's the other side is that I see many people who languish in that reality of they have failed and their failure is so catastrophic or horrible or consistent that there's no hope for them and they're just doomed to be a disappointment to people. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat in my office and I've heard people say, when I ask a question, so why were you considering suicide? Well, I just wanted to put other people out of my – I wanted to put – other people's misery away by taking me out. I'm just causing misery to everyone. I'm such a disappointment. That's a really common theme among people who are suicidal. Okay, but listen. Satan is the father of lies. Okay? He lies, he lies, he lies. He also is the accuser of the brethren. So he's going to accuse you and he's going to use lies to accuse you. So listen, what does God say about who you are and what your value is, even though you're a sinner?
Mm-hmm.
He says that your value is, we can't even calculate it. He took himself from heaven, came to earth, took my sin upon him for me. He did that.
Mm-hmm.
My value is, I can't even calculate it. So that's the truth. So if I live in the truth of my value being from God, I can get through that disappointment about my sin. But if I listen to the liar, he's going to steal, kill, and destroy me. And that's the battle that I see going on in people is that who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the truth of the gospel or are you going to believe the liar?
The self-disappointment ends up with extremely low self-esteem. And to me, that's one of the hardest things to deal with as a counselor.
Yeah. Well, and listen.
How do you get people convinced of what you just said?
It's nothing I can do, Perry. I've learned over the years that if God doesn't reveal it to someone, I have nothing. I got nothing. But here's the deal. Through a conversation of honesty, through loving on someone over a long period of time, God could reveal himself through that. He uses people to reveal himself. But until it's from him to them, nothing will hold water. And so that's my job is to be on my knees and say, God, please do this. Because without his help, without God's constant influence, we'd all go backwards. We'd all divert into self-reliant carnality.
Can you ever get over, I mean, let me just give you a current classic example of extreme disappointment.
Okay.
Can you imagine with the children and the wife of Arnold Schwarzenegger are feeling right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And so how do you, what would you do in counseling them?
I would say, listen, well, first of all, if, for me, if someone doesn't have a spiritual foundation, I would help them go through the process of getting the truth out, telling what they really feel, how angry you are, how hurt you are, how disappointed you are, how you don't like the fact that this happened, how the, all the I'd get somebody to say it all out. But that isn't long-term healing. Where long-term healing comes from is when the person realizes that even though my dad or my husband disappointed me and did the wrong thing and may still do the wrong thing, I have a safe place in God that I can go and receive comfort, and I can receive nourishment and instruction and tangible help in a time of need that doesn't matter how good or bad I am, doesn't matter how good or bad my dad is, doesn't matter how much money you have, how much political power you have. None of that stuff matters, because God is the safest place that any of us can go. And when you have that, it makes handling something that's as severely disappointing as your father being a philanderer, it makes it doable. Mm. But without that spiritual backup, you got nothing. You got whatever the world offers. You got some sort of, you know, mental trickery. You got emotional denial. You got alcohol. You got drugs.
Well,
got...
this is one, as more of this story comes out, we're all devastated. We're all disappointed.
Yeah.
We're all been wiped out with this one. And so you think, how could this possibly be? And we're hurt. And you know what it does? You automatically start gathering and categorizing other people into the same class. And all of a sudden, you do nothing. You just kind of, you're isolated, and you become an introvert because people have really ruined it for you.
Yeah. How different is Arnold Schwarzenegger from David?
Well, none.
No. Yeah, or Newt, or
John Edwards.
Yeah,
I mean, and the list goes on and on.
Exactly, because humans are innately, because of the fall, sinful, and the only way a guy lives a righteous life is because the Holy Spirit is present in him, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit and a close community of honest spiritual people. That's the only way we avoid living in sin.
All right, one other little point. I know Pauline wants to ask a question, but one other little point here. You've been very clear in the past and consistent to say that God doesn't put guilt on you.
That's
right. The work of the Holy Spirit is conviction.
That's right.
But when you become disappointed with yourself, the guilt, this truckload of guilt that falls on you.
Yes.
And you can't get past that.
Yeah.
I mean, I just see guilt as...
Yep.
I'd like to... If guilt was a person, I'd shoot it.
I'd help. Well, the reality is guilt is from the enemy. Those are lies of Satan telling you that you're worthless. Now listen, there is a healthy kind of guilt. Like if I was to harm you, I would feel a certain level of natural remorse. That's the word I would use. I should have some remorse for doing something wrong. Guilt, on the other hand, is sort of embedded with this value statement of you're bad. Well, that's not from God if you're his child. Paulina, do you have something?
Well, one thing that I know have helped people, some of the people that I know, to overcome disappointment is being thankful. Because you look around, everyone is disappointed in something.
Yes.
And people complain all the time, you know, of having a good wife, having a bad wife, having no wife, having a faithful wife. I mean, you can go on, and someone will always find something to complain.
Right.
But once you stop for a second and start thanking God.
Yes. Right, which will come from seeing who he is. If you start to look at him, gratitude will come because he's so glorious. He's so good. And this is what I keep encouraging people. Listen, when you read the scriptures, look for God. Don't look for your list of moral failure. It's long and treacherous. Look for his glory. Look for his forgiveness. Look for his love. Look for his beauty. Look for him. And when you see him, gratitude, humility, safety, goodness, these things, self-control, these are the outcomes of seeing who God is. Seeing who you are, it's a trap of self-reliant, you know, guilty, disappointed, shameful, unrelenting pain. It's a horrible thing. And this is why God gave us the scriptures. I believe he said, you want to know who I am? Here, I wrote it down for you. It's immovable. It's there. But so many people are ignorant of who he is in an intimate way.
Is disappointment, I realize it's character building.
It can be. or character destroying, depending on how you handle it.
I guess we're talking about the antidote to it, but the point is that it happens to everybody.
Yep.
And can it be used for good?
Well, in God's economy, everything's used for good, even your disappointment. And, you know, gosh knows, I certainly have lived with a ton of it in my life, growing up in a family like I did and having a lot of experiences of my own sinful, you know, I was a sinner on an Olympic level. So God obviously has taken that sin and hurt and injustice, and because of his mercy and his grace and his redemption, he's turned it into something valuable. And there's nobody, no one, no place, nothing that can do that other than God. He's the one. Now, he uses people. Mm-hmm. He uses circumstances, but ultimately he's the one who brings beauty out of ashes. He's the only one that can do it. And here's what I keep saying to people. Look, if you have a brother or sister or a family member, somebody who you know well enough to know about the ashes, now we got some place to start. But most people keep all that stuff hidden.
Let me ask you
no
this.
One knows.
I'm sure we've all experienced disappointment from our spouse.
Yeah.
Disappointment from our children.
Yeah.
You don't throw them overboard. Okay, we don't talk about that.
well, I was going to say, it's not that you don't have the thought.
I don't know, but yeah, long pause there.
I certainly have the thought of, you know, in the moment of, you know, this is not going to work.
I know so. I've let Peggy down. I let her kids.
Sure,
you know,
me too.
They probably be disappointed with me and
yeah.
just soon throw me under the bus.
Yeah. Here's the deal. So who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust you and your ability to be a good dad, to be a good husband? Or are you going to trust God to give you what you need in spite of your sinful reality? And this brings us back to that place of dependent gratitude. And that was really where I wanted to end up today, is dependent gratitude.
That's almost an oxymoron.
Dependent gratitude is the antidote to disappointment.
Can you imagine not ever disappointing anyone, being perfect, how prideful you would be?
Yeah, we'd have to shoot you.
Yeah. That would be horrible. I'm so glad he's disappointing us sometimes.
But here's the other thing is that, you know, Jesus was perfect, but did not have pride. Never out of line, yet perfectly humble. Jesus said, I only do what the Father says. Jesus never did anything to make people happy, to make himself happy, to get a certain outcome. He only obeyed the Father. His ministry was never the result of somebody else's need. It was always in obedience to the Father, and that is our example of how to live. Now, we, unlike him, are not going to do it as perfectly, but it's still our example. So I would say live in obedience to God. What does the end of Ecclesiastes say? Solomon's like, it's all vanity. It's all, you know, chasing after the wind, except loving God and obeying his commands. Now, that is something that has value.
Can I ask you, what about being disappointed in church? Do you have many people there?
That's a whole other show, Paulina.
Well.
But yes, because church people, like other people, are sinners.
And well, that's supposed to be.
And pastors are sinners, and elders are sinners, and churches are imperfect. And if you're putting your hope in church, you're going to be insanely disappointed. I want you to put your hope in God and love the church. That's what I want you to do. Because that's what if we put our hope in God and love the church would be less disappointing. Because we'd be there being a force of good rather than complaining and whining about what didn't or should have or couldn't have or whatever. And, you know, complaining and whining is a great way to be disgruntled.
Well, the disappointment of the church has caused a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
to the point where people won't trust the church. They want to love God, but they pretty much have described God from the relationship of the church and how they've been disappointed.
That's right.
I mean, a vast majority of those who listen to the Dove Radio or watch the Dove TV are hurt people from church.
That's exactly right.
And so we're trying to at least engage them back into relationship with God, but that does not excuse them from trying another church.
That's exactly right. And I've spent 20 years, Perry, picking up this mess, working with people in the church who have been hurt, legitimately wounded by the church. But listen— What is God's call to us? Is it to stand on a soapbox and point and say they did it wrong and they're never going to get it straight? Or is it to forgive and to love?
Well, you're supposed to forgive and move on. I mean, really. I mean, if you're going to be honest Christian, you got to forgive and move on. Because it says, forgive me of my trespasses, and it's directly connected to as I forgive others.
Yes.
But I'm concerned about the fact that we're evacuating the churches because we're disappointed in some aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we are actually violating, the scripture says, Do not forsake the assembling yourselves together.
Yeah.
Well, the church is the body of Christ.
Yes.
And yes, people will say, well, these people are sinners. It's not us who decided that that's going to be the body of Christ. He made it so.
Yeah.
And he knew we're sinners.
Yeah. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. He didn't expect us to be perfect.
Right.
And, you know, constitute this church.
So there's several scriptures that come to mind. One is, it says, you who are spiritual, if you find your brother caught in sin, you who are spiritual, restore him gently, but be careful.
Gently?
But be careful.
Just a slap morale, aren't we?
Be careful lest you yourself fall in. So there's always that level of humility, right? The scripture says we are to bear one another's burdens. The scripture says we are to confess our sins one to another. So rather than complaining, I suggest you do a survey of the landscape of your friends, your church people. If there's one safe person among them, go confess some sin to them, and we'll get the church going in the right direction.
We know that there's going to be this big prediction that the world ends Saturday, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about the dedicated followers who are going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
How do we love them and restore them in 30 seconds?
Well, first of all, realize that Harold Camping's a liar. This is his third round. And don't put your hope in a man or his beliefs about the Bible.
But they have. They have. And they're going to be disappointed.
Yeah. And so that the reason you're disappointed is because you put your faith in a man. I suggest you put your faith in God, and you'll never be disappointed.
All right. Thanks, man.
You bet.